all those poets are here, but we've asked a few people in the audience to read a poem from the anthology for poets who live further afield than Vancouver Island. And I'm just going to introduce you to the book a little bit by reading a part of the afterword, just in case you've never heard of Planet Earth poetry. And the afterword starts with a quote by Heidegger. "The poem is a vortex that snatches us away. Not gradually, but suddenly, we are forcefully drawn into a conversation." And then this is me in the afterword. "Poetry matters. Poetry is a personal conversation made public. When I say poetry, I mean the musicality of language, the carefully chosen words, the pairing of ideas and images. Poetry is a way to explore the mundane and the mysterious, and through sharing, begin a conversation." On any given night at Planet Earth Poetry, which is in its 18th season this year and runs every Friday night from mid-September to technically April, though we ended June 7th this year, you will hear people holler out their praise. You will see tears and hear laughter. This anthology comes out of a deep regard for what happens on Friday nights at Planet Earth Poetry and at other coffee houses and reading series across Canada and the world. So welcome to the launch of Planet Earth Poetry's Poems from Planet Earth. When Cynthia Woodman Kirkham, my co-editor, and I put the book together, we decided not to do it alphabetically, but rather to go on thematic pairings, because often nights at Planet Earth Poetry have a lot of serendipitous links between poems at the open mic and even from the featured readers, and we thought we'd honor what happens there naturally by putting the book together in that order. We also really like to start an anthology with Jan Zwicky, who we feel probably comes at the back of many anthologies, her name being Zwicky. So I'm going to start tonight's reading by reading Jan's poem, Autobiography. "In the years when winter snow piled up along the edges of the streets, beneath the windows, on the lee side of the hedge, I did my homework at a desk my father built, set in the corner of my bedroom facing west, which was my choice, I think. The second desk, I know it was. And once I moved out, the apartments with the bad floors and the crazy plumbing, the wallpaper I was always steaming off, I take the place because it had a workspace that did not face east. Those cold, bright years, how long I spent trying to die. Such injustice, when every morning it's spring again. Every morning the light melts the snow before books, before desk, before windows, before pain, before amazement." That's Jan Zwicky. And now I'd like to introduce our first or second, technically, reader for the launch, and that's the man in charge of WordStorm. Please welcome David Fraser.
Everyone's taller than David Fraser. So I'm not in charge of it, actually. It's a whole group of people who put it together. So I share a pack or a home with two border collies, and basically life, a walk, a run in the woods is an adventure with border collies. So I wrote this poem called Border Collies, but it's not specifically about my border collies. It's not even specifically about border collies. But it's called Border Collies. The Border Collies are knackered now, all day chasing grumpy sheep. They slink behind the rocks, peak heads up, avoid the work. They do not know the blood that seeps through the muck of runoff. It flows into the glen. These dogs are young, born to the obsession of their craft. They do not know the burning button bends, thatched roofs ablaze, bodies fueling fire. They know the present only, not the past, not the baggage of this history, not the Helan cattle's red fur scorched and curled. There are muddy hooves that jut into the air. There are gutted bellies, sheep in rotting piles, a stench. There is raw-rooted anger. There are men and women torn and numb. Sheepdogs, still in the here and now, raise their heads above the crags. They know they need to work, bend the sheep with come-bys and aways. Steady, steady, not like revenge. Take your time until the last lambs are safely down, clumped together, moving in a mass toward their pens. The dogs' tongues flop from their mouths. They're knackered, eyes alert, just a stare to move the herd. These dogs know not the moments of betrayal, slaughter points on maps, the clearances. They know a day's good work, a job well done, some food. They know quiet corners with openings where they can watch their sheep. Thank you.
Thank you. That was David Fraser. The face of WordStorm, maybe? The face.
Did you say the face?
It's going to be one of those stories. By the end of the evening, this is going to be a story. Please welcome Naomi Beth Walken.
How to write a haiku. Details confuse me. So when I see a rose, although I do not know its pedigree, I write down rose. And when I cut it, I do not know whether I should cut it on a slant or straight or underwater twice. So I write down cut. And when I put it in a vase, I do not know whether it is raku or glaze or perhaps good plastic. So I write down vase. And when I see two red leaves on the earth beside the rose bush, I do not know from which tree they've fallen. So I write down red leaves. And as I set the vase and the leaves on the table, I write down rose just cut. Beside the vase, two red leaves. And although I do not know the details of what I've just done, the sadness of it all cracks my heart open.
Thank you, Naomi Beth Walken. Our next reader is going to read a poem by Jeanette Lines. Please welcome Amy Falkenberg.
All right, I'm reading this poem by Jeanette Lines called Zorita, Burlesque Queen of Pastime. Nobody calls me Ada but my mother and the FBI. Liz Goldwyn, Pretty Things. Orson Welles liked her snakes. Elmer and Oscar, truth was they were weren't much use, sluggish. Slept in a sack in her closet. Even on stage, they were stupid, half-stunned, no work ethic at all, and she had to lasso them about feigned terror. All the heavy lifting belonged to her. A congresswoman or congressman gave her a fox fur, she winked. Later sewed it to a G-string. Marlene Dietrich praised her sewing prowess, the zing in her stage name. So Rita, a bricklayer, bricked her house for free just to play a part in history. Zarita loves her scrapbooks, all her pretty girls, under the Christmas tree, a light in black lace, or not.
Thank you, Amy, for reading Jeanette Lyne's poem. Our next reader is Leanne McIntosh. Please welcome her.
After 64 years, my first dead mother poem. All afternoon, the room hot and stuffy. The words fragmented, detached, lived so long in February light. They know only the chill the body feels when you've slept too long on hard ground. Maybe the living can never write about the dead, can only write about what they imagine has been lost. And even then, it's like throwing stones into a deep well in hopes the echo will reach us. Those long ago memories, the taillights of a semi-trailer, late night in a whiteout, and the wound you've carried for years like a flaw, now in old age seems it must have been the first view of yourself, close up, laid bare. Yourself, the full bucket pulled out of a dark night, radiant among yellow willows.
Thank you, Leanne McIntosh.